May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. In the name of the one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. What has your waiting been like this week? Last Sunday, with the beginning of Advent and the new church year, the notion of waiting and preparing made its way to us. Have you given any thought whatsoever to what God might be inviting you into during the sacred time of preparing and waiting? Maybe, just maybe, it's simply more of an awareness of slowing down. Or perhaps you've made a deliberate decision to make this season more meaningful by choosing a practice which makes you slow down, wait, think, and contemplate about the coming of our Savior's birth. Or as I said last week, this time of waiting can be like a mini Lent. Perhaps you've chosen to give something up or take something on. Or maybe you're like me. Perhaps it hasn't quite settled in yet. Perhaps you already feel like you don't have enough hours in the day to get everything done for Christmas. I'm not ashamed. I am a priest telling my parish that. That is exactly where I'm at. But I'm also a mama of three boys. And I also know we all have busy lives. Well, in all honesty, that is exactly how my first week of Advent was. I wish I could stand before you this morning and say my first week of Advent was all things holy, slow, thoughtful, contemplative. But not really at all. Frustrating for me. Really frustrating for me. Wishing I had more time to read, to think, and contemplate. Time to claim as my own. That's not how my week was. And I bet I'm not the only one in this room who feels that way. It didn't go the way that I'd hoped. And that's largely in part why I asked this morning, where did you find yourself this first week of Advent? If it's not what you hoped for, I say this to myself as much as I say to you, don't give up. I see some smiles. I see some resonating with your priest. There are a few more weeks, three more weeks to settle in. Thanks be to God. So what I would say is have an intention and be intentional with that intention. Consider finding a way to quiet your soul. Open up space in your heart. Give grace to yourself if this is your first endeavoring in choosing an Advent practice. Be patient. As you wait and desire, and maybe even every day, you will find time to savor this sacred, sacred season. So, as always, in the first week of Advent, we get an apocalyptic text. The second week of Advent is given to a man who is also patiently waiting. We meet again every second Sunday in Advent, one of my most favorite persons in all of Scripture. The locust and wild honey-eating, camel hair clothing-wearing wild man. Who is it? John the Baptist. Yep. He makes his arrival every second Sunday of Advent. He is a prophet, a forerunner. He is a proclaimer of one to come, and he is a patient waiter. Yes. Can't you just taste the excitement and hope in John's voice as he too waits and prepares, knowing full well someone much greater then he is on the way. This is what John says. If you can picture this man, wild and woolly, fully bearded, barely clothed, this is what he says. I baptize you with water, but one who is more powerful than I is coming. I'm not even worthy to carry his sandals. John is telling of one who is coming, who will be the realized hope and expectation, who will be the Messiah. Everyone thinks it's him. But he's saying, no, not me, someone else is coming. John not only discloses that a powerful one is coming, he also has a very unique way in which he shares this news. To all gathered, he says this, bear good fruits worthy of repentance. That's a lot. What does that mean exactly? Well, in essence, John the Baptist is saying, do good. John doesn't tell the crowd to try and do grand and mighty things. But he does stress that in one's daily life, in the space in the corner of the world in which you live, do what you've been doing, but do it better. Do it better. And I will add a little bit, take a liberty in also saying, whatever it is, do it more honestly, virtuously, and do it as an act of service and love to God. Do it with love in your heart. Do it better. Share what you have. Be honest and above board in your work, whatever that is. Be faithful to whatever task is yours to perform in life. And in many ways, John is the one who is telling the story of Jesus. And what he is saying is exactly how Jesus is. He's shedding light on many of the same things Jesus will embody and teach even before Jesus does it. We know that Jesus lived an extraordinary life, but sometimes we forget that he also lived a very ordinary life. And this is where we can meet him. Fully human, just like you and me, he worked, he taught, he ate, he slept, he was human. And in this particular moment, in this grand moment where John meets the crowd, John speaks to our humanity and reminds us that it is only through our humanity are we able to meet and help others, to do good. John knew that Jesus was coming to change the world. Oh my gosh, when he was in his mama's womb, he leapt. He knew. When Jesus entered the room, he leapt inside his mom's womb. He knew Jesus. while still in the womb, would turn everything upside down and inside out. He knew. So when John is with the crowd, he doesn't ask the crowd to change the world on their own. Remember, one is coming who is quite capable on his own of doing this. Instead, John asks them to do what they've been doing all along. Just do it better. Knowing that when we all do it just a little bit better, with a little bit more love and care in our hearts, things will change. It is a privilege. We get to take part in the grander work of cosmic renewal, and I believe that is happening here at Grace, one little step at a time. Why? Because we are intentional about the way we approach things and choose to take part in them. And in this way, we at Grace are perpetually in a season of Advent, always a state of preparing, always hoping, always longing. Everything we do reflects the God we serve and love. Everything. What we do every day at work, at the office, at school, at home, cooking dinner with our family, changing diapers, playing soccer, all of it matters. It's profoundly spiritual. It is profoundly important. John preached and Jesus showed us that the waters of baptism do in fact change us. Changes our hearts, our minds, our spirits. We get to participate in making this world better because we are always in the process of imaging our lives after the one who our hearts make room for. Always. We don't have to set out to change the world, but the Spirit empowers us to do so. Whenever someone comes to Grace, I ask them, what would you like to do here? My job as your priest is to help you live out your baptismal calling, because it is then that you find joy. It is then you begin to understand why you were created. This is why everything we do matters. Everything we say, it matters. Because we have been changed by the waters of baptism so that everything can make a difference, so we can participate in continuing in the good news of changing our world. Doing things that no one expects. Blowing people away by generosity and kindness. Because we can't help but want to do it because we have been so changed and so dadgum blessed. And we are so full of gratitude that it bubbles up and it flows out. It cannot be contained. What John is doing today is he is preparing us for a world in which the Savior of the world inhabits and calls to order. This is not a disorganized world. It may feel like it is, but God has it all in the palm of his hand. We are part of this, y'all. We are part of this. Good news. And might I say to you this day, whatever of the world, whatever little corner of the world you inhabit, heed the words of John, make it better. Love what you have been given to love a bit more purely. Love it. And when you know you haven't, repent and say you're sorry. Turn a different way. Apologize. And trust that the waters of baptism are what will allow you to do this. Something unexpected, something you don't think you have the power to do because you can't on your own, but you can with God's help. Faithfully and virtuously. And I'm afraid to say, if you call yourself a disciple of Jesus, we don't have another choice. You have to do this. I have to do this. This is part of us all renewing God's world, reconciling us to Himself. So this week, do something for someone that no one expects. Surprise them. Please pray for your enemy. Love your enemy. Make amends. Ask God to change your heart if there is bitterness. Serve in a way that leaves others saying, "Wow, my life is just better because of you." Open up space. And slow down. We get another week of Advent to try again. And believe in the radical good news of Jesus Christ. And as John said, bear fruits worthy of repentance. Do good. And dear people of grace, learn to love that which God loves. And so what he loves becomes your pleasure and your pursuit. This is good news, my people. Let us pray. Lord God, you have called your servants to ventures of which we cannot see the ending, by paths untrodden through perils unknown. Give us faith to go out with good courage, not knowing where we will go, where you will take us, but only that your hand is leading us and your love supporting us. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
May the Lord keep you forever, granting peace, perfect peace, courage in every endeavor. Lift your eyes and see his face. Know his grace forever. May the Lord, mighty Lord, bless and keep you forever.
Peace of God, which passeth all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge of God and of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost rest upon you, people of God, this day and always. Amen.